Good morning again, and I'm going to talk about greatness this morning. This may be a bit of a throwback in some ways, and this won't work very well for anybody listening on the internet later, but who is this? Usain Bolt. I last heard some of those. There we go. And who's this? Mo Farah, excellent. Who? Oh no, how embarrassing. Who's this? John Travolta, come on. I'm obviously not very good at John Travolta. What about this one?
Superman,
excellent. These are great people. What about what about we shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall never surrender, Churchill. Okay. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, keep listening, and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I need two names. And the one you were already shouting, Martin Luther King and Abraham Lincoln. Excellent. Very good. You're very good at American history. Very impressed. To be or not to be? Shakespeare, Hamlet. Yes, Hamlet or Shakespeare. Who is it then, I wonder? For example, who should be attributed with this great quote? I'll be back. Arnold Schwarzenegger, or maybe the Terminator, or maybe whoever wrote the film. Anyway. Yes, Jesus. Excellent answer. Thank you, Nikki. I'd love to say you've just finished the sermon. In fact, I'll just leave it. Not a lot of people know that. I hope somebody would say that. It was never Michael Caine, actually. It was one of his mates taking the mickey and saying that's the sort of thing he always says because he's a bit of a know-all. But anyway, yes. Let's make America great again. Donald, he's a great man, surely. When the whole world is silent, even one voice becomes powerful. Malala. Yousafzai, however old she is, very young girl anyway, who has her voice has been heard, amazingly. What does it mean to be great? I mean, those are the people that we know, aren't they? People that we can mostly recognise. What does it mean to be great? Is it strength? I mean, who was the greatest? Muhammad Ali. So that's strength there. Yes, Jesus is the answer to a lot of these. There we go. But he called himself the greatest. Okay. Achievements. So Usain Bolt, plenty of achievements there. Or maybe Donald Trump, he would point to his many achievements. Is it influence? Actually, influence is a big thing. There are now people whose role in life is to be influencers, to be a fashion influencer. It's not a thing that most of us oldies have got a place for in our worldview. But anyway, yes, you can be absolutely huge on the internet by being an influencer. How many of you stayed up and paid your money to watch Logan Paul fight KSI? 2 million people did watch Logan Paul fight KSI. Does anybody know who Logan Paul... Vanessa, were you one of them?
We watched it.
Whoa, excellent. Yes, we have a big... We have this little part of modernity at the back of our church here. The rest of us are missing it absolutely. Somebody who isn't Vanessa, would they like to tell me who KSI or Logan Paul are?
YouTubers.
YouTubers. There's a new word for the Oxford English Dictionary. They are people who are famous for being on YouTube and giving their opinion of life, the universe and everything, and sometimes controversial things. And that's what they do in different parts of the world, but the two of them are kind of competing YouTubers. So it was decided by YouTube and the people who make money out of them that they would have a boxing match for real in Manchester. And so they did, and loads of people paid money and loads of people watched. And most of us don't have a clue who they are, but they're great people in their circle. They are very well known. They have a lot of influence. And there's a lot of other influencers on Instagram and YouTube who most of us don't know who they are at all, but loads of people have them as pinnacles of who they aspire to be or who they listen to. How long will it last? Will it be fleeting? Who knows? We wait and see. Somebody a little while ago made a list of the top 100 most influential people in history. I'm not going to go through them all, but near the top, we had the top 10, in fact, and in this order, interestingly: Muhammad, Isaac Newton, Jesus, Buddha, Confucius, St. Paul, Tsai Lun, who was the inventor of paper, Gutenberg, the inventor of printing, Columbus, without whom America wouldn't exist, and Einstein. So that's an interesting mix of people behind big religions and people who've done technical things. And Isaac Newton being up there above Jesus, I don't think he would agree with that. But anyway, that was a list based on somebody's view of the influence on the world that certain people's ideas or discoveries have had. There's a lot of people who are a bit further down that list. So what does it mean to be great? If you asked a leadership guru, they would probably give you one answer. What do you need to do to be great? They would give you lots of advice, I guess. But I want to look at it by looking at our readings. And we're going to start with a great man and his followers. That is Jesus in our first reading. So if you are wanting to look at it, I'm just going to read through it again, basically. It's on page 1013 in your Bible. They left that place and they passed through Galilee. Now, it's interesting, if you're thinking about greatness, to think what place they've just left, which is the Mount of the Transfiguration and something that happened just when they got down from there. So this is where Peter, James and John have just seen Jesus with Moses and Elijah. I mean, those are great people. There's three greats there. But frustratingly for them, Peter, James and John were told, do not tell anybody about this. So they're sitting on this amazing thing that they've just been able to see. And they come down and discover that the disciples have not been able to heal somebody. And Jesus says, they need great faith for this. Anyway, they're leaving that place and off they go. And Jesus was speaking to them privately. So he was wanting to keep from everybody knowing he was there, because when you read these parts of the Bible, you realize when people realized he was around, they mobbed him and they came along. But he's talking to them privately and he's saying to them that he's going to die and he's going to rise again after 3 days. Delivered into the hands of men, they will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand, and they were afraid to ask him about it. I think maybe it's because of what just happened, where they hadn't been able to do something they'd hoped to be able to do. I don't know what it is, but anyway, they don't understand and they don't ask either. Not a good lesson there. Then they came to Capernaum. You can still see the ruins of Capernaum. It's amazing, and also really small. And also every place he might have been, don't think of a house with a room the size of rooms you have. Think of really small rooms, because actually that's where they crowded in. They were there. And actually this is kind of like Jesus' home place. They would, he would be there quite often. And if you read the stories in the Bible, they keep coming back to Capernaum. And he asks them, what were you arguing about on the road? Oh, how embarrassing. He realized they were arguing about something. And even more embarrassing, they were arguing about who was the greatest. I mean, why would they be arguing about who is the greatest? I can't really imagine that Peter, James and John are going, we've got a secret thing that we were allowed to do that we can't tell you about. We're the greatest. I don't suppose it was that. I can't really imagine either that it's, my fish I caught was bigger than your fish you caught, because they're a bunch of fishermen. Or maybe fishing's better than tax collecting. I don't know. Don't know what they were arguing about. For some reason, because they're humans and human nature does this, they were arguing about who is the greatest. Not a very good conversation to be having, really, they realized. Not a very good thing for Jesus to ask them about just after he's been telling them that he was going to suffer and die. So they're a bit embarrassed and they don't want to tell him. But he realizes. And so he tells them straight, if you want to be first, you need to be the very last and the servant of all, says Jesus. Wow. Not the usual way to look at it. Not what a leadership guru would tell you nowadays. We expect that if you want to be first, you've got to be the best. You've got to work the hardest. You've got to beat the competition. But that's not the way that Jesus talks about it. The Bible does turn things on their heads. And we find that in James, page 1215 if you want to follow it there. Who is wise and understanding among you? Well, this is going to go on a bit. I'll just have a think about it. It doesn't mention greatness in here, just as a warning. But it is actually all about greatness. Is greatness something which is in comparison with others? Can only one person be great? Can other people stop you from being great by what they do? What if that's not how it is? I mean, a lot of us think that we're made less by other people being more. We don't think that consciously, but actually, when you see somebody doing really well, part of you celebrates with them, and another part is quite likely to go, about yourself. That's not how it's meant to be. That's not how it has to be, as we'll be discovering here. When it's not about what we achieve? I think greatness in the world is a lot about that. James talks here about how we could be. He talks lots about consequences of things, because things do have consequences, and they're often the things that we can't see that have the consequences. Things going on inside us that we might not talk openly about have consequences on the outside. So, who is wise and understanding among you, asks James? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. It's not by saying, I'm wise, I understand everything. It's by living a good life and doing things humbly. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom comes down, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil, says it, or demonic in our pew Bibles. Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and every evil practice. Lots of things have consequences. We give space to things in our lives and they'll have consequences. If we give space for selfish ambition, if we give space for envy, it will have consequences. And they will be not good consequences, disorder and evil practices. So what goes on inside us has the consequences of whether we live good lives or evil lives. The difference between being godly or being earthly and unspiritual. So how do we stop this? Well, James goes on to talk about that. He talks about all sorts of good things. Wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, it says in the Pew Bibles, but actually willing to yield is what it says in another version. I like that. Submissive can sound like we're the Christian doormat. We just have to do what everyone else says. But actually it's not. It's saying, okay, well, I'm prepared to yield, certainly yield to God and submissive to God. There's no, you know, that's a good thing to be. But submissive in the face of evil is not how Christians should actually respond. Sometimes we have to stand very firm in the face of evil. But willing to yield to other people when we're trying to work out the way forward, that's a good way of being. That's a godly way of being. Full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Here we get to something that is part of what God does in us. We're talking about fruit. We're talking about a harvest. Think of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us as we get to know God. The work of the Spirit becomes more real in us. We have the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul talks about elsewhere in the Bible. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. I wrote those down without looking. I hope I didn't miss anything vital. Anyway, these are the things that grow in us because the Holy Spirit's at work in us. Ways of being that happen on the outside because of something that's going on the inside. And that is how we can have consequences that are in the right direction from what's happening in us. If we get to know God, the consequences are good things. We do develop ways of being as we go through life. And those ways of being can be good things or they can be bad things. When we start out with things being more straightforward. little children don't have a lot of the complexities that we do as adults. Maybe that's why Jesus brought a little child and showed him to his disciples and said, look, here is an example. So Jesus brings a child and says, he takes the child in his arms. He said, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Welcome a little child. Now, is a child the greatest? I don't think so. Do you really want to spend a lot of time with a child? Some people do, but other people would say, with a child, no, I want to find somebody who, you know, makes a difference to spend time. Well, it does make a huge difference, but, you know, we can get a wrong attitude to children or little children. They're little, certainly when they're very little. Actually, they're wonderful, but you could say, you know, if on the scale of greatness, you want to go and talk to your influencer. Don't know how many children are influencers when they're very little. Most of the answers about is this great might be no with a child in one way of looking, but actually Jesus says, welcome a child. He's turning it on its head. Back then a child would have been last. Be seen but not heard is where sometimes through history that's how children have been thought of. Not important. But Jesus says, if you welcome a child, you welcome me, and you welcome the one who sent me, we welcome the Father. But the disciples don't get it, actually. Just a chapter later, people are bringing their children to Jesus, who said, welcome children, and they're saying, go away, the rabbi's far too busy. And so Jesus has to have a go at them again. You haven't been listening. Let the children come to me, don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. So not only do we welcome children, we learn from them. We need to welcome the least, and we need to receive God's kingdom like a child. Well, I wonder if we just think that Jesus often talks in pictures or examples. Who is the little child that you need to welcome? Or what is it? Who is it that you need to change your way of looking at? Because Jesus says that you should look at the last and the least and welcome them. And even look at the child and learn from the child. Look at those around who are not great and say, what can I learn of God? What can I learn about myself? I think we want to be a church which has that upside down way of looking at things, welcoming all, serving all, learning from all. That's God's way. That's what Jesus encourages us. So what does it mean for us to be great? Should we try to be great? A lot of people spend a lot of their time trying to be great. How would you go about trying to be great in a Jesus-like way? Maybe in a childlike way, in a humble way. If one thing is that if Jesus makes a little child his example, then actually we can all be great, because you're not having somebody pointed at who's already won the 100 metres race, or somebody who's already achieved the founding of 23 companies, or somebody, you know, who's done these great things. You're looking at somebody who's little, somebody who's helpless, somebody who, you know, hasn't got everything right. And if Jesus looks at a child and says, here's your example, when we're talking about greatness, I want you to think about a child, then surely each of us can say, God's got room for me, even though I haven't got anything I can tick a box next to. God's got room for me because he's got room for a little child. And he even says, learn from the little child. Don't just say, oh, that'll do, okay. He says, no. Celebrate the little child, learn from the little child. So each of us have room in God's way, and each of us can be great in God's way, not because we've got it all sorted, but because we come as we are and we say, okay, Holy Spirit, work in me, help me not to be these bad things, and grow in me the good fruit of your Spirit. And we can pray. That's one thing that James definitely says we should do, is pray. Pray for the things that we need. And as we get to know God, then we're praying. The things we feel we need will be the things we really need. And we're not looking for them because we want to just have them for our own ends and our own pleasure. but actually for the real reasons of being the people that God wants us to be and making his difference in the world. James's reading finishes with a passage which says, come near to God, or many of us will remember it as draw near to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's like a magnet. Can't get away from a magnet. If you had a very big, you know, those old-fashioned horseshoe-shaped magnets. You have a very big God magnet, and you've got us. And we just need to turn to God, draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. He draws near to us. Think of the prodigal son or the running father in the parable that Jesus told. The son went off and messed everything up. The son became the embarrassment, the messed up, the didn't do anything right, realized eventually, felt awful, it was all bad. And the father runs to meet him. That's how God looks at us, and that's how we should be looking to be ourselves. If you feel like you're the one who's gone miles away, messed everything up, coming back, well, remember that God gave this story where the dad ran to meet the child, even though the child had done everything wrong. And if we're the people who are in the good place, the comfortable place, and there are people who are turning and looking and wanting to find a home, then we go out to meet them, draw them in, come and be part of this family, the family of God's people, who are messed up people, yes, but actually they can all be great because God allows that, wants that. He's made us to be that way. So we draw them near. So who is the greatest? We all can be. But it doesn't look like the sort of greatness that we see and hear being bigged up around us. Draw near to God, serve others, welcome others, let the Holy Spirit dwell in you, an old-fashioned word, but it's wonderful, live in you, and his fruit will grow in you, and then you'll grow away from envy and selfish ambition and find the ways of peace that James says reap a harvest of righteousness. And pray for what you need to be God's great you that he's made you to be. Amen. In fact, we're going to pray now. Lord, we see so much around us which is about the greatness of the world. I mean, the world is great, but greatness as understood by the world, and so often it's misunderstood. I pray for each of us that where we have measured ourselves down because of what we see around us, that you will lift us up. Where we have got attitudes which are being tarnished by the values of the world around us, I pray that you would clean them and clean us and make us new like a small child. I pray that where we feel inadequate, you will remind us that we're made by you in your image and you can restore your image in us. Where we feel we're not great, I pray that you'd raise us up. Where we struggle with inner things that lead us in the wrong direction, I pray that you'd heal us. I pray that you would fill us with your spirit and that your fruit would grow in us and that we would recognize that we are made great by you and we would find that greatness, upside down though it is, to be serving others, to be listening and watching and learning from others, to be welcoming people into a home with you. We pray that we would be a church full of great and humble people, great in your eyes and great because of what you've done, and always looking for the best in others and always looking for the best for others. So help us, we pray. Lead us, we pray. Transform us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.